Hello, everyone. Surprise, surprise, surprise. We are live on the Blossom and Brew podcast. I am your host, Regine L. Sawyer, and I'm here with my illustrious co-host,
Ilka Pinero. Ah, hello.
Hello. Hey. You know, we took a little hiatus last week. I had a lot of things going on, folks. So my apologies, but there's nothing but love, sincerity here in this space from me to you and to my co-host.
Yes, ma'am. But
you know, I'm here now. We're here now.
Yes, we are. We're here. And you know what? As soon as you said, I was like, don't apologize for shit. Ain't nobody paying us for this.
No, and I'm pretty good.
We doing this, man. Whatever, man. Sometimes you just gotta be like, you know what? I don't fucking feel like it. I don't feel like finding the link and sitting down and talking to my friend so everybody else could listen. You and I could just be on the phone.
That's true. You know. But I mean, full disclosure, guys, I've been taking care of my aunt who was in the hospital, and she's faring better, but I'm still up here in the Boogie Down Bronx overlooking the Hudson River, which is gorgeous, on Hatteras, and seeing all the strange boats. I'm like, what is this one, and that one? What is your purpose? But this is the truth. I'm like, what is that? What is this freighter? Why are you sitting in front of the apartment building? I'm like, what is this? Mm. I guess it's 2020. Don't ask no questions.
I mean, well, I think we're going to ask a couple questions. I mean, you know, things are hot and wild in these streets. And just before we went live, I was telling Regina, I was just like, you know, oh, fuck it. Let's just, you know, let's just keep it real authentic. Just have the chats and figure out what the hell it is that's doing and what's out in these streets. I mean, what do we even want to talk about, girl?
I mean, there's so much.
That's why I'm like, I feel like I have analysis paralysis a little bit.
Yeah, y'all. I mean, we usually prep. We promise you, we usually prep. But this was sort of like, let's get back into the groove of the podcast. I mean, there's a lot going on out here. We have the Democratic National Convention. We have WAP. We didn't talk about WAP. Like, if we have anything to say about WAP, that is. There's other things, but I feel like I'm like in a time warp. So, you know, if anything that has happened that you know about that I don't know about, please feel free to jump in.
Doubtful. I don't think there's anything.
Kamala.
I feel like that's all involved in the circus, as it were.
Well, I'll be honest, I have not watched the Democratic National Convention, mainly because I didn't realize it was on. I saw people tweeting. It's not that I didn't see anyone tweeting. I saw people tweeting, and then it's like, yeah, but what time does this sucker come on so I can, you know, see whatever? It's like, oh, it's coming on at 10 o'clock at night, which isn't really late. But I was like, what state are they in that they are doing this at 10 o'clock at night, East Coast Standard Time?
Well, they're all over the place, right? Because it's all Zoom things.
Yeah, so they may have just settled on, let's just make it 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time and call it a day. Staying up to, you know, watch it and participate and so forth. But I feel like I'm like in a time loop. Because I'm like, when, where, how, who said what? Someone brought calamari.
What?
To one of their speeches. Yeah, I guess. I don't know who that was. Because I didn't take a look.
I think you can see it all on YouTube.
I'm quite sure, certain it's all right. I'll cherry pick. I'll definitely cherry pick.
Right. Yes, it is happening. I think today is what, day 3 or something? I don't know. I don't understand how any.
I think it's day four. I think it's
already.
Monday. Yeah, I think it started Monday night.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I checked out. Honestly, I checked out after the first night when I saw on Twitter Billy Porter's performance. I saw that. I saw that, and I And I tried to talk to a friend that I thought would know because I thought she might be involved in that. And her first response was, "That's not real." I don't even think she looked at it. I just was like, "Do you know about this thing?" She goes, "That can't be real." And I was like, okay. And I was just like, you know what? And I had that thought too, like even prior to bringing it to her, I was like, this can't be real. And I was like, oh no, this is real. This is real. This is real. This is what, this is happening. And it just, and I mean, there's so many offshoots of the conversation that are happening that can happen from just from that. And about how, like, somebody said, you know, what am I trying to say here? The way, to me, part of the reason that I am avoiding this whole election cycle as much as possible, aside from what I feel like will be like when I just kind of like can't help it anymore and, you know, do a rant. and I am actually really challenging myself to like move my thoughts to more formal settings like my website and Patreon and stuff, because, you know, I'm not really trying to give Zuckerberg any content that I care about. So I say all that to say there does feel like, you know, the corporate propaganda to me at the very least feels very evident, you know, like, and I'm sure it was always there and I just didn't really notice it, you know, like so many of us before, you know, adulthood, you know, because I did started to notice it with Obama, frankly. That was really the first time that I started to kind of really be like, oh, this is like a lot of this is circus, you know, a lot of this is performance. And so this like piece of corporate propaganda that feels like it comes up, like I feel like you know how I had thoughts and feelings about Ava DuVernay's little comment, her statement of, you know, like, I know what she did. I know what went after her comment for the context, even though I would imagine and hope that a lot of y'all know, but maybe you don't. after Kamala Harris got the nomination, Ava DuVernay came out and in celebration, I think, of her, of the nomination rather, like put this whole statement out on her Instagram and, you know, basically stated like it, in a very short version, you know, we're on the brink of destruction and, you know, quit your bitching because, and vote no matter what. It's longer than that. Not actually much more nuanced than that, honestly, in my opinion, but that's what she said. And I don't follow her. I don't really engage with too many celebrities. And the ones I really do follow are ones I have like, you know, just bald faced sexual crushes on. It's true. so the reason this came to my attention was because of so many people, majority non-Black, but some Black people who shared it on their stories, thereby like boosting this signal of this thing that this woman said. And so I went back and I read it and I was just like, this feels very chastising to me. This feels like it is really out of alignment with, like, I basically was just like, huh, the lady who brought us the 13th and when they see us is basically sitting, telling us to sit down and be quiet and not demand more. That feels incongruous to me. Another thing that felt incongruous to me was, not incongruous necessarily, but like I had a desire for clarity about who the fuck exactly it was she was talking to. Cause it felt to me like she was talking to niggas. Like I was like, are you talking to Black people right now? Because if you're talking to Black people right now, you're an op. because it just felt like, I mean, I don't I understand the sentiment. Like I understand the sentiment of like, vote them in and hold them accountable. But I also understand how that's like logically fallacious, right? Like there's how, who's going to be like, yes. Now that you've given me the power, I'm going to listen to you, even though I didn't listen to you and I have the power now. Like, I'm just sort of like, what? And then on just a real base level, like, don't silence me. Like especially not the Black electorate, because we're captive, right? We're this captive electorate. And this happens every time. This conversation happens every fucking election cycle where somehow Black people who are the ones who tend to show up, right, are still somehow always such a big part of this electoral conversation, right? And I appreciate that kind of discourse around this electoral conversation is happening where like more Black people with platforms are like, keep us out of it, right? Like, let us fucking grumble. Like, we should be allowed to grumble, because once again, you know, those of us who choose to engage in what, honestly, at least for Black people, feels like insanity, if the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? Like, I understand the, you know, like the ins and outs and the voting and the not voting. And, you know, my stance has always been like, don't say shit to Black people that, you know, feel whatever way about voting, because it is a really nuanced and like challenging and psychically, you know, like wrought decision for us every time, I think, people that, you know, identify as Black in America. So this thing where like this person, it just felt real, like I said, in Congress to me, that like this person who, you know, her, like, for better or worse, a big part of her milieu is like, you know, like kind of like humanizing Black people for white people in a historical context, you know, let's be honest, it is, that she would come out and basically be like, but y'all have to shut the fuck up now. When, like, we're not the ones to be told to shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, if like we might grumble and moan and blah, 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 but like the Black people who vote for quote unquote the party that is more progressive, right? And I don't know, it just feels like there's a big part of the conversation once again being left out, where in or attempted to be silenced, you know, which is like the people on the margins that are just like, you know, why? Like, why once again are we in a situation where, you know, we have to decide who, like, I have to decide whether or not I want to be shot in the brain or the foot. I don't want to be shot.
I mean, I think that's the biggest part of the conversation.
Right.
Especially when people say, you know, voting for lesser evils and so forth. And we had this conversation before in regards to what Ava DuVernay posted. And I maintain my stance. I feel like there's a lot of fear in the air in general.
Sure.
And she spoke to that fear, the fear of people not voting at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not even just voting against their interests, but not voting at all. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I think there are a lot of people that are fearful.
Agree.
And I think she also tapped into that. It's like, because the moment that you see someone grumble, and again, it's not right or wrong. You're like, oh God, this person is not going to vote, and we're going to be stuck with this motherfucker for another 4 years. You know, that's the fear. It's like, if you don't, you know, go all in, and people don't feel like you're going all in based upon what you're saying. Like, if you're giving a critique and so forth, the fear is that you're not going to go down and vote however you do vote. And, you know,
no, that's not the fear. The fear is not that you're not going to.
Well, no, let me finish.
Okay.
I think that is a part of the fear. And I'm saying that because I've seen other people post similar things, not just with this election, but previous elections. Even the election previous to this, when he was 45, was being voted into office.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, please vote for the love of God and all that's holy. You know, Black people vote. Please go. And like, yeah, they're treating us like we don't go. It's like, no, majority of us go. A good chunk of us go. You know, yes, talk to the people that don't go, that are outside mm-hmm. of our community. You know what I'm saying? But I think there is an overall fear, and I think it's heightened because we've mentioned before that the pandemic is a magnifier, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think the fear is magnified based upon what we've gone through with this pandemic, based upon the different things that are going on with racialized violence against Black folks and Asian folks. And so I think fear is greatly in the air. And again, I'm not saying whether her approach was right or wrong. I'm just saying that she definitely is not the only one that feels that. At the same time, I think it is important that we critique, we give opinions, we hold people accountable before they go into office, as well as when they get in, you know, because because we want the best for our communities. We want better than what we receive. And the only way you kind of try to at least make certain of that, or at least hold people to their word as best as possible, because that's another conversation. Once people get into office, there's only certain things they can do for the given amount of time that they're in that office. And with what 45 has done for the past 4 years is unravel a whole bunch of stuff. Like a lot has damage has been done. So whoever goes into that office after him is going to have to, you know, I'm not even going to use the word fix, but they're going to have to attend to all these various issues and see how they can adjust, how they can amend, if at all, you know, and it may take longer than their actual tenure in that office. So I think my standpoint is just like there's layers to that stuff. Like I acknowledge people's fear, but I would just say this, like we're not the ones you should be afraid of if you're going to hold fear in your body at all.
Well, here's,
I'm done.
I hear that. Here's what I was going to say. So this thing of go vote. It doesn't matter who you go vote for, go vote for a lot of, I think that's bullshit. I think when people are like, oh my God, please go vote. The unspoken truth is go vote for the person I want you to vote for.
Yes, that's true.
So, right. So that's what I was going to say. So it's not this thing of, oh my God, go vote. Right. And I'm singling out Ava DuVernay is because she is like the sort of most vibrant one that was in like my personal sphere. Cause when I tell you, everybody was like sharing it, you know, like, oh my God, this thing that she said and this thing. And like, I went and looked at it and all of these people liked it, like really good friends of mine. That I was like, are we really accepting this lady talking to us like this? You know, which is why I was like, who is she talking to? Because I did not appreciate, because if like you came and you, Regine, sat and said to me exactly what she said to me, I'd be like, bitch, get the fuck out of my face. Who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Like, we're not both adults right now. Right? And so there's this thing, there's this like, you know, and then it made me think of Malcolm X, who said the thing about, you know, like celebrities are puppets, like black celebrities are like puppets of like, you know, the white propaganda machine. And I was just like, you know, people repost that shit all the time. And it's like, we don't listen to it. Right. Because somebody that like we think is and again, like, I don't know. There's something about like black elite or whatever, or like black celebrities being positioned as like, puppets. I don't know. Like I have the clip because I went and found it. And I've been wanting to like share it. And even that too, like even the censorship thing and the silencing thing is already working on me because I'm just like, you know what? I don't even want to hear no shenanigans. Like, I don't want this to be a thing where like, I seem like I'm dissenting, even though I am dissenting, you know, because like, I don't care. And I want to sow discord and blah, blah, blah. And this shit of, well, if you don't vote for blah, then you're voting for blah, you know, like, don't tell me, you know? And I say all this to someone who will very likely fucking do the thing where I go and I vote down ballot and blah, 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 you know, and like fill out all the whatevers and blah. Like, so, you know, I am like pretty firmly ensconced in like the 95% of black women, right? So yes. So I feel very, you know, aligned with the vibration of I'm gonna do what I fucking gotta do and like participate in this bipartisan bullshit and I'm still gonna be pissed about it. Right? So that I feel like I'm in that, I feel like I'm firmly in the space of like, I am not the one you need to fucking talk to, right? And so, and to me, non-black people, frankly, are not even a part of this conversation as far as I'm concerned. Because let Becky come to me and say some shit to me about, you know, how I'm a vote and watch me slit her throat, be like, yo, did you talk to your grandma? Because if you didn't talk to your grandma, I'm gonna need you to turn your head around. Like literally, not your body, just your head, literally just exorcist style, just turn your shit around and get the fuck out of my face. Because like, I'm gonna need you to break your own neck. I'm gonna need you to break your own neck so you don't fucking look at me right now because I'm not the one you should be fucking talking to. So I say all that to say I'm not talking to. It's not that I'm not talking to white people about this, but it's just like I'm real specific about the white people whose opinions I'm like lending any credence to at this situation because, you know, what you know how I feel about whiteness and white supremacist delusion and how it just fucking grinds through blackness because it knows no other way. So this is a conversation. This is an internal discourse to me about like one of the races with which I identify, and the one I identify most with my fucking multiracial ass over here, but like black, right? So this thing, this is not, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable with Pharrell being in some kind of think tank, you know, or saying some shit about how like master and slave terminology in music is problematic because like, what, like 4 years ago or 3 years ago, Pharrell was a new black talking about like, we should transcend this. You know, it just feels to me like every—
Yeah, he's supposed to be writing, I'm sorry,
race. Yeah, no, essays. Yeah, go. His what?
He's supposed to be writing essays on race?
Something, right? Like that. And I'm just like, but you didn't get, like, at the beginning of this, pandemic, he was one of the ones that got dragged over to Kohl's because he said some out of touch shit. So it's interesting to me, the people that, you know, like, who get sort of, like, presented, you know, as, like, the voices that we as black people should, like, you know, look to or listen to, you know what I mean? The advice we should take, the line into which, you know, we should fall in line, which line? I'm not interested in that line. You know what I mean? And like, why can't we have this conversation when ultimately the thing is like the black electorate rarely makes a difference. It doesn't, I don't think it really makes a difference. You know, and like Sonya Renee Taylor, so funny. I told you about this the other day. Sonya Renee Taylor said this thing about, you know, like the cake of America, right? And she likened it to a cake, and she likened it to, like, let's say you make a cake and you know, you put the cake in the oven and oops, you realize that instead of a cup of sugar, you put in a cup of salt, right? You can't unbake that cake. There are no chunks of salt you can take out, right? The cake is fucked up, you know? But instead of throwing it out and starting over, here in this country in particular, we're like, okay, well, we'll just put a whole bunch of icing on that shit and hope motherfuckers don't notice.
Oh, it's nasty.
Well, yes, foodie. Yes, it is nasty. And that's the point, right? That's the point. And so the thing that she said amongst so many other genius things she said was that she was just like, you know, Americans have this real interesting, like this, you know, like, I can't remember what like phrase she used it, but it was something like this like swath of kind of exceptionalism, you know, where it's just like, you're convinced that like you can get out of the way of the train. It's like playing chicken, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can get out of the way of this train until the shit is like basically in your face. And this feels to me like chicken, you know? And at this point, I've been saying this since the beginning, like if we can, right? If it can even happen, because again, where are your mailboxes? And this thing where DeJoy was just like, okay, we're gonna stop. Like it felt very similar to me about like, you know, Bolsonaro when the fucking, the rainforest was like burning, you know, where it's just like, oh, you just like let the shenanigans happen for just long enough that like it meets our agenda. Okay, we're gonna stop it now, you know? So it's just like already, like there's already been over something like damn near 700 mailboxes that have been disassembled, and it takes months to put them back together. So it's just like this thing where he came out and he put this statement, he's like, we're suspending everything. It just feels like just like dollops of icing, like being thrown. It's almost like you take a bite of this salty ass, nasty ass cake and you're like, ew. And then as you open your mouth to like spit the chunk of cake out, somebody comes and shoves some icing in your mouth and then shuts your mouth, you know? And they're like, no, you're gonna fucking eat it. You're gonna eat this nasty bullshit ass, ruined ass cake with this extra piece of diabetes on top of it. And you're gonna fucking like it. You non-white, whatever you are, like you thing that doesn't exist in the narrow parameters of what we say is allowed to succeed, you know? And it's just kind of like, okay, I get to complain about that. Like I get to shine a light on how fucked up that is. And you lady, you know, and whomever, again, Avatar as like this thing, this sort of like, you know, weird faceless, like with many limbs, like, and melanin, just like monster of, you know, like elite, new, black, whatever, you know what I mean? That just sort of gets like trolloped out every 4 years to tell the niggas underground how to behave. I'm done. I think it's gross. And I think it's extra gross, you know, and by design, when white folks glom onto that shit. Well, this black one said, like this famous black said that you should be quiet, just be happy.
That person doesn't speak for me.
Right. And so there's nuance that's missing, and that that I even then, you know, like I lose complexities and my access to nuance because I, when things like this happen, because I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ, they think we're dumb. They think we're dumb and they think we're going to fall for it. And it's not that I think we're dumb. It's just that I think we're so weary and so distracted and so tired. So I don't know, girl. I don't know.
Well, don't mistake me. Like, don't mistake me. It's not that I don't agree with you. I think that I'm just sensitive to the fact of, I'm going to keep saying this about the fear factor.
Yeah.
And again, it's not to say that people, you should hold that fear, because it is a part of colonization. You know, and that mistrust, us mistrusting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shakira not going to vote. Shakira ain't going to vote. Tariq not going to vote neither. Like, I got to say something. You know, just y'all keep your mouth shut. Just show a united front until they get the job. I mean, it's very much about slavery, that mindset. So I'm thoughtful about it. You know, yes, like yeah, you know, let's snap out of it in this, then a third. But if we're talking about intergenerational trauma and blah blah, that's part of our intergenerational trauma. And how do we say like, yo, I understand that's part of your intergenerational trauma, and in some way, shape, or form, it's part of mine too. But let's not continue it. Let's not do it. Let's just say that we can move forward by holding people accountable, saying that this person did such and such a thing, and it wasn't right. It was messed up. It was unlawful. We don't trust this person. We want to know how we can trust them.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know how they're unraveling their nonsense. We don't know. We want to know that they understand and comprehend that what they've done prior will stand with us while they're sitting up in an office we put them in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's valid, and I think it's important, and it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, we're going to go down and vote for the person or persons that are most our best interests. I don't think I said that properly, but that's okay. but you guys understand what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, whoever's the most, who's in our best interest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot. That's why I always talk about those pillars, because it touches everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm looking at like a person like Ava. I'm looking at a person like Pharrell. It's like, do you realize that's what you're doing?
Like, yes.
And do you realize that's how it's harming us? So I believe some people do. I believe some people do, but I do also feel that sometimes things are so integrated that you don't necessarily realize that that's what you're doing.
Right.
And you have to be called on it. And then once you're called, you're like, oh, shoot. It's like, yep. Because honestly, I don't think I want to read any race essays from Pharrell. What? I want to read the essay where you're telling me what work you've done.
Right.
That's the essay I want to read.
Right. I mean, the thing is like, well, do you remember the beginning of the pandemic when he did some sort of shenanigan where he like did a GoFundMe and everybody was like, open your wallet, son.
And I was in my prayer closet. I was doing real work. Oh, that's okay. I did not know about that.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty. Yep, I don't think I'm misremembering this. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was 3 years ago. It was back in April. So, but yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he was doing some kind of GoFundMe, and people were like, "Son, you are." Yes, it was absolutely him, because I remember somebody had just gone and looked up his net worth and just like screenshot it, put it up as a response.
That's some bold shit.
Like, yeah. Yeah, like, he was like, come out your butt. And people were just like, yo, son, we can't work. You are, like, worth $50 million, and you basically live on a compound.
That's like, shut up. Paid for what? What are we paying for? Like, you pay for that.
Look. It was something. And this thing of, like, you know, it's no longer, I don't know. And I realized that I, in a lot of ways, am in the minority. Because, you know, like, again, this thing that Sonya Renee Taylor said, she was just like, yeah, no, like some of my friends are really just like, yeah, about like the nomination, like, woo, they can do it. And some of my more radical friends, like, this is bullshit. And, you know, I'm living this Pisces life. So I'm over here, you know, like the day it happened, like three different people informed me at once. And it was about 15 minutes before I was going to teach one of my meditation classes that it all happened. And I just sort of like felt myself like in that moment, just kind of detached from like human reality a little bit, like six more inches. Cause I was just like, I can't be a part of this. Like, I can't be a part of like, you know, all of like this, like it's life or death discourse, blah, 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 you know, all of that. Because the simple fact of the matter is, absolutely. And the simple fact of the matter is like, it is life or death, but it was life or death before, you know, like the people that think that all of like, they're the vast privilege, right? To live in, to have a mental space wherein you believe that all of this started with 45 is wild.
Yes.
Like I've told you about the woman I know who was well in her 50s and said after, I think we talked about it on this podcast, and who said after like the Electoral College didn't like, you know, pull us back from the brink of the disaster of having this man as president, you know, she said something like, for the first time in my life, I think that the government doesn't care about us. And I was like, what?
Wow.
It really was something like that. And I was like, okay.
You're just beyond delusional. Are you kidding me?
Like, it was, like she was just like, I can't, she was like at this, but, and I was just like, okay, the drama, the level of drama, the level, like, what has your life been? What has your life been?
Privileged.
I mean, it reminds me of in 2001 after September 11th, I was sitting and I was talking to this friend of mine who he's a person, he had no right ever living in New York, you know, like from the Midwest, like, you know, a very, I don't want to get too much into it, but we're sitting we're talking and he said,
part of the New York is over crowd.
No. Well, New York was never under for him. You know, like let me put it this way. When he lived here, he proudly never went anywhere that the sixth train didn't go.
Okay.
Right? So, right. Okay. So it was, you know, a stopgap. Totally fine. Whatever. And so after September 11th happened, he said, he was just like, I trust that the government will do what's right. And I was like, what? Like, I just remember, I just remember being like, yeah, we're not the same. This is a different thing. And so I do, it's my like, you know, one of my kind of like existential like dances of this thing I always talk about where it's just like burn it all to the ground, right? And also like we can all ascend it and like finding a balance in that I say all that to say, you know, depending on what happens, we're either going to see, depending on how this goes, right? Where my sense is that, you know, generally, these are all generalizations, obviously, you know, we're going to have a whole bunch of people, like the people who were closer to the spectrum of everything was great until this guy stole the election 4 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to have those people, like if the shit goes blue, right? If it goes the way that those people want it to go, we're going to have a whole bunch, like a whole segment of the population that just like swings back into like status quo bullshit, right? If it doesn't go that way, it's going to be like a lot more death of them, right? And a lot more visible death. Because when the things are just like placid on the surface, it's real easy for those people who live in that mental, yeah, to just look away from stuff. Like it's real easy for those people to, oh, well, you know, we have to know the whole story. And did that person, were they resisting arrest and and all this? And, oh, it's too bad. Like, it really is too bad about Black people internally. I'm glad it's not me. It really is too bad about them. Whew, I'm glad it's not me. Right? So you're going to have that segment of the population. If it doesn't go their way, it's going to be, like, the same, but just more visible. And more of the hand-wringing and more of the screaming and more of this and more of that. So this thing of vote them in and then hold them accountable, there will still be motherfuckers who are holding them accountable if the shit does turn the way that folks want it to, you know. But there will be fewer people holding them accountable. I promise you there's going to be a fall-off. Of course there's going to be a fall-off. Because like I said, those motherfuckers, like I said, they posted their little black squares and kept it pushing. Not all of them, but a lot of them. More than
I'd like to see. That caused harm.
Of course it did. So, you know, it's just
ridiculous.
Just seeing it, just seeing the, like, you know, I saw somebody put on their dog account, like their dog account. And I'll tell you who it was privately. I'll tell you offline. But like they had their dog post a black square and it was like muted and listening. And I was like, go straight to hell.
Oh.
I was like, go straight to hell and leave your dog. I was like, you go jump in a volcano, an active volcano, and leave your dog. And I'll take care of your dog. And I was just like, what the fuck are you doing?
I'm still stuck on the lady that painted Black Lives Matter on her pregnant belly. And there's no black child in there. And she was a white woman.
It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And, help us.
And I want to talk about this too. I want to talk about the commodification of Breonna Taylor. That's real hard for me. The memes and the hats, like LeBron, did you see that hat?
I think I did.
So first of all, in my opinion, the like, ha ha, nah, just kidding, red hat thing played. It's played out. Red hats are done. Because like in the time it's going to take for the person to see whatever little like witticism you have on your red hat, like the damage is already done. Like I'm already in fight or flight. At that point, to be like, hi, Sally. Right? Like, so, and so when I see that, like, everything about the execution of that, like, concerned me and it bummed me out. Like, the fucked up ass font, the fact, you know, like, I was just like, this is not. And I read, and I lost it because it was like so fast, but somewhere on Twitter, somebody who lives where she was saying that the reason they're not going to investigate it is because, like, it's a part of a much larger, like, city rezoning, something or other. Like there's some shit. The person connected it. I'd have to find it again. I don't know. So I don't want to say anything else about it, but it made a lot of sense to me why it's just like quiet on the whole front about that. And, you know, when I see people like Sarah Paulson in shirts to say arrest the cops who made, I'm just like, okay, who made those shirts? Who's getting the money from those shirts? It's her, like, where are the proceeds from those shirts going, you know? And it's just like, yeah. I don't necessarily know, you know, if that's something that's being investigated. Do you know what I mean? Because anybody can screen print some shit on a shirt.
Of course, yeah.
You know? And so I'm just kind of like, ooh, like, I don't know if that girl is resting in peace, you know what I'm saying? And, but I certainly don't know if, I just, there's something about it. There's something about it that's really making me cringe. It doesn't sit right in my spirit. It doesn't sit right in my spirit. The fact that like the way our collective discourse, like our interracial discourse, right, around these things is just, you know, so like sound bitey that, you know, she has become this, like her memory in some way has just sort of been like plasticized. You know what I mean? Like it too has been like put through, it's been like put through this weird like celebrity ringer. Like she's a celebrity because of the way she died. Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's.
It's horrific.
Well, I don't even know what descriptor I'd put on it. Cause like, I don't know how to place it. I don't know how to place it in my psyche other than sitting in discomfort.
Well, I'm saying it's horrific because, I mean, she's famous, like you said, because of the way she died. That's so, it's morbid.
Yeah.
You know?
It's macabre. Like, that's very true. Yeah.
I agree with you. I understand if people want to, like, sort of support and put that out there. I'm hoping that people are not selling things. I mean, because they may just be, like, print on demand, you know, have a shirt done, have a hat done, and just want to show some type of support. If it's something that the family is doing and putting together to raise funds to do for whatever is needed,
right,
to preserve her memory, to take care of, she has children, I believe she has children.
I am not mistaken,
but to help maintain the family. But if it's not for that, then it's like, y'all, like, what are we doing? I mean, I think we're losing the point of the mission.
Yeah.
You know, the point is to get the cops that killed her and had anything to do in and around it, because apparently there were more police officers on the scene than they originally thought, and have them all arrested. have every single one arrested. And yeah, I think folks are losing sight of the mission. And then now with this new information that you just gave, I'm like,
I gotta find it. I gotta track it down. Shit, it's probably scrubbed or some shit now. But like, I saw it. When I find it, I'll send it to you. Again, I'll send it to you offline so we can discuss. But I was just like, huh. Like, it was someone where they were like, this is the thing I know. Like, the person who tweeted it, it was a whole thread, and it feels like they worked for the city plan. Something, it was something about that. Like, it was something where...
They work for the city planning committee?
Yeah, the person who tweeted it. And I, and yeah, we'll discuss more in privat. Mm-hmm. But yes, let's talk about good things. What's okay. good? I mean, here's what's good. What's good is, let's flip side it. Let's, you know, balance it out. What's good, again, I always enjoy the learning. I do enjoy the collective learning, you know, the like, here's the thing that the post office people are saying and so on and so forth. what was I going to say? They filed something. Shit. I think I got to eat something. Because I can't remember. Because like, there's a thing that they filed that, you know, was sort of like a boss move, mm-hmm. even though I feel like it, even though I was a little bit like, oh, I hope that's not too late. You know, that's another thing that like we'll have to follow up with the people on. But so, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, girl, how are you doing? Other than, I mean, I know you've been deep in caretaking mode, so.
Well, I've been getting work done.
Yes.
I've been getting, definitely getting work done. I hosted a panel last weekend for the virtual edition of FlameCon.
Hot.
Which is a convention that celebrates and support queer people in the comic book industry. And it was a lot of fun. We did a panel on comics and advocacy. And I've done this before as a workshop. This is my first time doing it as a panel. And it was really great. I really think it's important to give people the information about access, like how mm-hmm. you can take something that you really love, that you enjoy, and use it to benefit your community and larger society, of course.
Yes, yes.
Society at large. And we had some wonderful panelists on who gave like really great information. And I believe the panel is still up on YouTube. You would just have to check out Geeks Out on YouTube to listen to all the panels that happened that day. Ours was the last of the day. And I think they ended on a good note. Okay.
That's right. You got to finish strong.
Right.
I learned that in grad school, like for compilations and things. Mm-hmm. Like you start, like you put the strongest ones at the beginning at the end. And then you fill up the middle with the things that's weaker.
Yeah. I mean, well, in the sense that you want people to stay. You want to hold their attention.
You want to grab them, and then you want to leave them, and then you want to leave them with a good taste in their mouth.
Like, oh, like I don't want to leave, like, or I gotta come back.
Yeah, very true.
you know, something along those lines.
It's facts. I mean, and that happens everywhere. Like, I let you know, it was a really good example of that. Is like Busta Rhymes albums.
Okay.
He does that. I remember having that revelation, like in college. Like, I was like, wow, these start real strong. And then they kind of end okay, but in the middle, there's a bit of a teeps. Tell people about, you mentioned the thing about people reaching out to you for, you know, collaborations and stuff. What's going on there?
Well, I got an email out of the blue wait, tell me something about you. Give me 1 second.
Okay. Okay. Tell you something about, oh, I have, you know, there was some new moon in somebody, I can't remember who, and somebody, and it, you know, it was just like, yes, for your sign, you're going to want to do like a new regimen of some type. And I was like, I guess. And it just so happens that like, I've just been sort of getting up and being like, yes, I will take this yoga class. Yes. Pilates sounds great. Blah, blah, blah. So it feels like there was sort of a release. Like I definitely had some, you know, how my sleep was all fucked up and like I wasn't like eating right or really drinking water or like just taking care of myself at all. That feels like, you know, I sort of caught up with myself a little bit in the past couple weeks.
Okay, good.
Did you handle your business?
Yes, auntie.
Great, okay. Oh, I figured. I was just like, what can I say? I'm working on my chaturanga.
You know, it's like, guys, like, folks out there, you know, this is real life. I don't edit nothing out. This is it.
What did I say? What did we say at the beginning? Yes.
Super 100. We
keeping it super 100. Yeah, no, I've been really working on my chaturanga dandasana, which is like always been very challenging for me. So, you know, I just like,
like cats.
Do cats really? They sometimes do. I don't think they hold it.
They don't
though.
Do they a usually... full one, but I mean, when you said the, my first thought was, you know, when they splat.
Yeah, no, no, no. Yeah, no. Yeah, no, this is the one where like, I can't really hold it. Like the lowering down into it has mm-hmm. never been like an elegant, graceful thing. So I was like, okay, you know what? We're going to practice this. So I've been working on it with the block. And it's hard. And so I actually did some research and people were like, no, it's a very challenging pose, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, I'm not alone.
Well, in our fitness classes that we do, the dance fitness that we do like the rolling, at least my teacher does. She does the rolling. Like chaturanga. And I'm like, no, I can't.
It's a really hard, yeah, like those muscles in particular. So like even that. But even that, like, I know, like, I had sort of been cheating where I would, like, put my elbows out. But, like, I'm trying to get, like, real legit chaturanga where your shit is, like, glued to the side of your body. Like, your elbows are, like, in, like, touching the side of your body. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, you know what? I've been fucking having some sort of in and out, some sort of yoga practice since I'm in my 20s. And, like, I just want to, even for a second. It was like, because, you know, like, wheel pose. I was like, ugh. There was a time when I just pop back into wheel pose. So it just feels like, you know, I've gotten to a place of being inside since this is the year we stayed inside and minded our own fucking business.
Yeah.
Where like it's descended. You know how I always say like things move real fast in like the energetic realm and then they're a little bit slower in the mental realm. And then it's like super slow in the physical realm because everything is dense. You have to get through like muscle and bone and fat and skin and all that. So it just feels like shit is finally now starting to trickle down into the like physical plane for me. So that feels exciting.
Well, that's good.
Yes, child. Yes, baby. So you know.
So I'll say what happened with me. What happened was I just got a random email.
Yes.
From a literary scouting company. Then they're interested in, I guess, pitching one of my comics to a client of theirs.
Yes.
So their concentration is film and TV.
Okay.
So that's what that is there. So we'll see. We'll see.
I'm into it.
Yeah. Like me too. It's like, we'll see. We'll see. Like it was interesting just to tweet it and then you see all the support. I was like, oh, people are so sweet.
I was so excited. Yeah. Like when you were like, you saw my text when I was like, Andrew! I was like,
yeah, because I said, I said something like, oh, I got this email today from a literary scout for like film and TV, I guess I should look for an agent. And I put a shrug emoji, like, I guess.
Yes. And then I came in mad enthusiastic, like, so it is. I say,
and so it shall be done. Okay. No, I mean, things take time in general. Like, it takes time for things
everything to kick longer off than and, you think.
You know, way longer than you think. Like, I've been writing comics for 14 years.
Right.
And we've had the Women in Comics organization for 8. So it's interesting when people start to discover you and, you know, think they got the next new thing or the next big thing. And it's like, well, I've been here, but okay. But I'm like, yo, it's cool. I always wanted to get to a point where, you know, people just find you. They're like, oh, I have to send a query letter. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like I've sent 200 and each one is a rejection letter back. So should I, you know, you start to question if you should be doing something or not. But, you get a little bit down in the dumps every once in a while in regards to that stuff, but you just keep trucking. At least that's what I try to do. So this is nice, you know, regardless of where it goes, you know, I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for the opportunities that are coming. And, because I am supposed to be working on a couple of other projects in the coming year, doing some more anthologies and such. And I'm proud of myself because I hadn't been writing like that.
Yes.
I haven't been writing in a long time. Like, I really had a break. I said, nope, this is a nice long break. I'm not writing anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But within the last 4 months, I think I've written 4 or 5 scripts, and then I'm
hot.
And I have a few more. I have a couple more.
Nice.
That I'm supposed to be writing outside of my own work. So I mean, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. You know, it's nice to know that people are interested in seeing stories from me. So that's great.
That is great. I've actually been working on a couple of things. I love how our lives like dovetail in these ways where they're like super specific to each of us, but they are very harmonious with each other. I've been doing a lot of creative consultation. Oh, you know what? Yeah, no, I'm gonna have to slip you some Ducats because I think I'm gonna want Genie Psychic time. I want some hashtag Genie Be Knowing. I don't know if y'all know this. I don't know. Can I out you right now? Can I out your sparkle powers?
You can. Yeah,
okay.
You
so can. I don't know if y'all know this. I know I come in, you know, guns blazing with the bitches. I can talk to dead people. But your good friend Regina L. Sawyer is very intuitively inclined. And I have had the honor and privilege of being able to witness as she has like grown and into and really magnified and refined her intuitive abilities. So I will oftentimes ask her to quote unquote look into things for me, which is no small bullshit because I have mad, you know, phenomenal cosmic abilities. And so I feel like it is a great testament to her intuitive abilities that I would ask her to look into things for me. And yes, because I am that bitch. And so is my friend. And if she wasn't that bitch, I wouldn't ask her to, you know, see what's going on with like my jaw. So I say all that to say, I've been really enjoying this. So yeah. So one of the things I want to ask you about is it feels like there's another sort of thing coalescing, like an offering to people, where it is this like kind of creative consultation, because I've had a number of calls now where people specifically will be like, this thing that I'm working on. And it's beautiful because I don't know why it took me this long, you know, or actually whatever, divine timing, to realize that those were things that I could combine, right? Like I could combine, you know, this sort of like, this like, you know, institutionalized, like credentialed sort of education, right? With, you know, like intuitive stuff and just be like, oh yes, well actually like whatever, you know, connection of, you know, like source energy, download information that as in regards to like this script is saying like blah, 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 blah. So that's happened. That's been happening a couple of times and that feels really nice. It feels just like a nice broadening of something. So I want to get in some field hours with you on that one, madam.
Okay. No problem.
Yes, before I start, you know, telling people to give me money for it. But like, let's be honest, people should be giving me money for it. There's this thing today. Do you follow the Nat Ministry? You do, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, you.
But go on about it. I might. I don't remember. But go
well,
ahead.
So she's a Black woman. I don't even remember her real name. I'm not even sure if she's ever shared. I'm sure she shared it, and I'm just bugging. But she said this thing today. Well, she reposted one of her own tweets, her own tweet threads. And she said, and this relates to what I was just talking about like bad bitches run with bad bitches. So she goes, imposter syndrome. I think it doesn't exist. And it's just sexism and white supremacy making you feel like shit. This is crucial for Black people in work settings who are usually the smartest person up in the place, but be feeling inadequate due to the fuckery. She goes on. The term imposter syndrome was coined by clinical psychologists Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imez in 1978, when they found that despite having adequate external evidence of accomplishments, people with imposter syndrome remain convinced that they don't deserve the success they have. And then she says, Black women, stop claiming this mess. You believing you don't deserve the success you have is due to your toxic socialization of being a Black woman in a culture that hates you. White supremacy and sexism is the problem. I really, and that hit me. That hit me hard. I was like, yeah, uh-huh, yes. Yeah, I'm a bad bitch, and I'm gonna tell you to your face. And I remember being in undergrad, and a number of people calling me cocky, and like, you know, oh, you're so full of yourself, and this and that. And it wasn't even that. I was just like, no, there's things that I can do. Like, this is just a thing, you know, and just watch. And this was like, you know, other Black women who would say this to me, which then, and now we're full circle, right? With this thing of like, you know, how one of the, like, just another insidious channel of like white supremacist delusion is how it convinces us as Black people to police like internally.
Yes.
Which is exactly what it feels like is part of this discourse with these like Black elites telling, like talking down to us and telling us that we should behave a certain way, that we need to fall in line.
Well, that's basically what I said.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. That's why I said it was full circle, darling.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, yeah. Yeah. So for a while, yeah, it's just, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I feel, yeah. And I just, Even I feel like even Black folks that are going to yell about you should go vote. I feel like only yell at non-Black people.
It's, like I said, it's definitely food for thought, because I like you said, not us.
Yeah.
Like not us.
Yeah.
It's like when we do what it needs to be done.
Every time,
you know, we do. We often are the ones that say what needs to be said.
Right.
You know, we only have a few minutes left, but I mean, I just want to say, like, I guess it was a couple of days ago. Oh, God, it feels like last week, but it was a couple of days ago, where not just one person, but two people, one was a white woman, one was a white man, said something along the lines of, you know, Black women are going to save all of us. And I'm like, no. No, no, don't put that on us. Don't put that on us. Save yourselves. Y'all caused this. Y'all fix it. We do what we can do for ourselves and our communities, you know? And also on the flip side, you want us to save somebody? You need to support our communities. Money needs to be put into it. Higher living wage. Peace of mind. A home. Like right now, people are concerned about losing their homes. It's like, we need all of these things, but you want us to go save you. Nope. No.
I mean, I just, and you know, and I understand, I definitely understand why people are like, vote, you know, and I also understand the conversation where it's just like, okay, you can't vote without an address. We have an eviction crisis looming, you know? And this thing of this deep desire for saviors, right? And how that is so, you know, just entangled, thank you, Jada, entangled with this thing of like Black womanhood, right? So anybody at this point who fixes their face still, like, and that's the thing, is like this particular avenue of the discourse is old and dusty. Black women will save us is so fucking played. It's so played. Like when I see people, it's the kind of thing like how when, you know, after the Women's March, that one chicken that I don't talk to no more actually came out and was like, not all white women. And I was like, are you joking? Like when I see people say things like that, I immediately am like, oh, they must be trolling. They can't actually be serious. Like you can't actually be serious about what you're, oh no, you are serious. Okay. So now we're going to have to drag you again, you know? And I saw somebody write this other thing where it was just like, white people don't even know the things white people do to terrorize non-white people. They're not even aware of it.
Yeah. That's how deep-seated it is.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a word right there. That's a word right there. Because that then leads back into the believe Black people and the, oh, they can't be that. And, oh, you must be blind. That you have to be, you know, it's mm-hmm. just like, because the shit is so insidious, because the shit is so deep-seated, because it is so ubiquitous and so normalized, that is why, you know, you say this and that thing was blah, and there's pushback. Well, it can't be that, because that person is a good person. So if they're good, they can't be racist. Yes, they can. I'm good, so I can't be racist. If I'm racist, that makes me bad. But you did a racist thing, though. So even, so can we then separate you are racist from you did a racist thing? And if you do like many racist things, then what does that mean? So this, and so, you know, it's this, it's again, like once again, here we go, like tiptoeing and navigating and blah, 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 whiteness. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, did I send you the little video? Last thing. There was, so I'll send it to you. We can talk about it next week. So there's this senator, congressman, I don't know, some municipal someone from Clarksville, Tennessee. And his name is Jason Hodges or something like that. And so there was some meeting they were all having a couple of weeks ago where he came out and he said, there's video of him basically saying, you know, I think as white people, it would behoove us to consider the fact that the folks who are out here protesting police brutality are met with more police brutality. And perhaps that might be what they're pro, like he just pointed it out. And what's amazing about the video, and what I didn't even notice until I sent it to a friend of mine and she pointed it out to me, is that there is another white man, and the way the way it's filmed is that the non-Jason Hodges white man, we're gonna call him the human fart, because that's what my friend called. My friend was like, who is this fart of a human in front? I was like, I didn't even notice that guy. So human fart is like, if you, when you see the video or the clip rather, it's, he's like at the bottom portion of your screen. And Jason Hodges is taking up the majority of your screen, he's talking. And so as soon as he says white people, basically, effectively, he says, so we as white people need to blah, 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 blah. So as soon as he says white people, human fart basically has the equivalent of a stroke. Like literally, like his eye squinches up. It does. His eye squinches up and he's like, and you just see him like go through all these emotions just because like a fellow white man had the nerve to call them what they are.
Absolutely.
And I was like, yeah, I don't really know. Like, I'm not sure if Kumbaya is gonna rock this for us.
Well, that's because the big thing we're gonna talk about next week.
Yes.
That's a lot of bochinche.
Yeah. You know, leave them wanting more, bitch. You gotta strong.
That's right. Is there anything you want to let the folks know that you're doing in the coming week?
You know, shit, just follow me on Instagram and that'll eventually tell you how to get to my website and my Patreon, because that's where the good shit is. Basically, like the long form writing and the speaking is here. So at the Ilka Pinero. Yeah, that's really it. Just stay with it, because it's changing all the time. But I don't see myself silencing at any point. It just feels like the bullhorn might take a different shape.
Okay.
Yes. Tell the people what you have going on.
What I have going on. Well, I'm here in person.
Wait, wait, let me interject here. Okay. All of these things that you've written, how do we get access to them? What's the
you
deal
will.
With that?
I'll announce, okay, great. I'll announce it when things are published.
Are firmed up? Wonderful.
We're in the process. So a lot of things are like in the production process.
Hot
so
shit,
once
baby.
The books are released, which will probably be maybe a couple this fall and probably a few in the winter and early spring of next year. So, yeah, as soon as I know when things are being produced and printed, yeah, I'll be the first to know. But outside of that, yeah, I'll still be writing this weekend. I'll be writing. that's for sure. But also, Women in Comics, we've partnered with Ladies Con and Comics in Color to present a virtual convention. Ladies Con, a virtual edition, is happening next month from September 9th through the 13th. Free content for all. There'll be panel discussions. There'll be some probably some cosplay workshops. Women in Comics, we're doing our signature drink drawn poll on September 12th.
Hot.
At 6:30 p.m.
Hot.
So definitely check that out. Proceeds of tickets goes to the Wink Media Fellowship, which is a program that we developed since relaunching the membership, where we're helping up and coming comic book professionals basically get whatever they need in terms of mentorship, supplies, support, all the things. And you can definitely check that out on our website, www.womenincomicscollective.org.
Ooh.
So that's some of the stuff. So Lord willing, we'll be back next week. We'll send a little official shout out. We'll see. But I like these little pop-ups. It's so unexpected.
Me too.
Unexpected,
right? On their toes.
Like, it's like, you know, it's special. It's special. It's cute. I love it. So take care, y'all. And be well. Bye.
Wow.